Parshas Vayetze. So if you notice, Parshas Vayetze is a very interesting thing we find about Parshas Vayetze, which is from the very start of Vayetze all the way through, it's not a single break. We know often parshas, within a parsha, well, there's something called parshas that say, which are, they are, in English you probably call them paragraphs. The parshas are split up into different paragraphs. Yeah, we have parshas Tuma, parshas Pesucha. Parshas Vayetze, there's not a single break. Okay. Question is, why not? What's it coming to teach us? Okay. So we say there's a pasuk from that Chana says, which we say every day in Dublin, which is, I say ain't sur kelokeinu. There's no rock like our God. Okay, like more in Brachas and in Megillah, the Ashen says pasuk that you shouldn't read it as sur as a rock, rather you should read it as tsaya, an artist. There's no artist like Hashem. Okay, the Gemara explains what it. The Gemara gives an understanding what it means, but Rav Shraga Feivel Mendelovitz says there's a different way that you can also understand it. Okay, there's no artist like Hashem. What does it mean? There's no artist like Hashem. She said, if you ask a little child to draw a picture, to draw a person, so take a piece of paper, take a pen, a pencil, and he'll draw a circle for the face, a stick for the body, another stick coming out on the top side, so that's the arm, two sticks on the bottom for the legs, and yeah, that's your person. As every line that he draws, it's obvious what he's doing. It's perfectly clear. Any onlooker can see exactly what he's doing. It's the arm, the leg, the face. That's a little child. So if you go to a top artist, he'll take a piece of canvas. And you'll put a red blob over there, and over there a green blob, and then a black line over there. And for the onlooker, someone like me who has no idea about art and can't appreciate art, they think, "What are you doing? You're wasting the canvas. You'd rather stop, let someone else draw." But the artist will say to you, "Hang on a second. Just wait a while. Not one second. Wait a bit. Give it a bit of time. Come back in a few weeks' time, and you'll see." So you come back in a few weeks' time, and you see a masterpiece, an absolute masterpiece. And you see, now you understand what that red was doing, and what the green was doing, what that black line was doing. Everything fits together perfectly. It's a perfect picture. Says Rav Shraga Feivel Mendelovitz. Said the Rebbeinu Shalom is painting a picture of the whole world. We started from Bereishis. It's going all the way through to the end, to when Mashiach comes. So, as we're going along, we don't always understand why he's doing all these bits and pieces. We don't understand why this one suffered and why this Russian over here, why he prospered. We don't know why it happened. But when at the end of the day, when everything comes together, we'll see that perfect picture, and we'll understand why every single thing happened. Ain't Sire Kelokin. There's no artist like Hashem. We find a similar idea, which is in after the Chet HaEgel, Moshe Rabbeinu says to Rabbeinu Shalom, says, "Hareinu nas kodecha, show me your glory." Which Chazal seems to understand. It's also got to do with the idea of schar ve'onesh, and why good happens to bad and bad happens to good. And Hashem responds, and he says to Moshe Rabbeinu, "You can't see me." He says. The very last passage there says, "Vasiroisis kapia, I'll take my mask off, whatever. No, sorry, I'll take my hand off. For ises achorai, you'll see my back, upanai lo yirava, but my face you won't see." The Ksav Sofer says what he was saying was the back of me you'll see, but the face, in front of me, the panai, the panim, the lifne, when you're before me, that you won't see. What does that mean? As things are going on in the world, we don't always understand why Hashem's doing that. We're living through things. We don't understand why is this one? Why is this thing happening? Why is that thing happening? But me'achayrai, afterwards, in hindsight, then often we can understand. Sometimes it might take a day. Sometimes it take 2 weeks. Sometimes it take a month. Sometimes a year. Sometimes a whole lifetime. But eventually, we will come to understand it. So we can't always see Hashem and why he's doing things as we're going along. Why they happen? But in hindsight, eventually we will be able to see it. And that is, the Chofetz Chaim says, that's when we are in Parshas Vayigash. when the brothers, all sorts of things have happened to them. That since they met Yosef, they don't know, before they knew it was Yosef, they don't know what's happening. This bad thing happened, and this ruler is claiming they did this wrong, and he's accusing them of spies, and all different sorts of happened to them. They have no idea what's going on. Yosef said two words to them, and everything became revealed. Ani Yosef. Everything was misguided. Everything was revealed to them. They understood exactly what had happened. All these things were fully understood. Says the Chofetz Chaim, and that's Pshat, when Mashiach comes, there'll be two words which will explain everything. Hashem will reveal himself and say, Ani Hashem. Once he says that, we'll understand the whole picture. We'll get that whole picture. Everything will be perfectly clear. The Chaim Shmuel Ever says that's Pshat in Parshas Vayetze. That's why there's no breaks in between. Yosef, not Yosef, Yaakov. Yaakov had to flee from his father's house. He had to flee from Yitzhak. Esav wanted to kill him. He was running away. Things seemed pretty gloom for him. He was running away, and death was just behind him. Eliphaz even came after him, and he was going into Galus. He went into Galus, but what happened there? Even though he seemed to be swindled, and he was swindled by Laban, but he got four wives there, and he built the Shvatim. So if you look at the whole of Vayetze, from the start, from when he went there, and the very end of Vayetze is when he's coming back. Look what he did. Look what he achieved there. Even though it seems like he was going to Galus, and he did go to Galus, and he seemed he was having such sorrows, but those sorrows built Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael all come from that. He got married, he had his wives, he had the Shvatim, and that is Klal Yisrael. So even though the thing seems very bleak, but Hashem had his special witness. Hashem knew what he was doing. If you look at the whole picture, that says Rav Chaim Shmuel Ever, if a person just takes like one moment at a time, so that's a tremendous, that's a, not just a disservice, but you've missed the whole boat. Things have to be looked at in the whole picture. And therefore, Parshas Vayetze, there's no breaks. It's all one long episode. You look from the start to the end, and this time Yaakov could see the good out of it. So we can't always see the good. But the lesson for us is to realize that if you look, you can't always see things as we're going through. You need to see the whole picture. It says what Rav Chaim Shmuel Ever says. That he once said, that's the mila of Nachum Ish Gamzu. He asked Natasha, so it's a funny thing, why was he called Nachum Ish Gamzu? Why wasn't he called Rebbe? Sounds like the title Ish Gamzu is a majeka even higher than a Rebbe. So he says that's true. Nachum Ish Gamzu. What did you say? You always say Gamzu Latova, which means he knew that even though things might appear bad, but there's a bigger picture there. And Gamzu Latova, in the end, it will be Latova, and he'll appreciate that, and we'll see that. And that's why he got this title, not Rebbe, but Nachum Ish Gamzu. Hanukkah's coming up in maybe about 2 weeks' time, a bit more. So the Rosh Hashanah Gemara by when the Masachin Chanukah, the Rosh Hashanah Shabbos is that the Masachin is for Halal and Hodah. Svat Emma says that Halal is to thank Hashem, to praise Hashem for the salvation, for our Yeshua. So Hodah is on the tzaras that we face, that we suffered. So that the idea is that we say Halal for the salvation. But at the same time, when we're thanking Hashem for the salvation, we also have to thank Hashem for the suffering. Because the suffering achieved something. It wasn't just suffering for no reason, obviously. There's a purpose to it. It brought us a understanding of the workings of Hashem and got closer on to a much higher level. So we don't just say thank you for the salvation, we also have to say thank you for the tzaras. Because when you're looking in the bigger picture, then we realize that the tzaras are not just there. Chas v'chalila, Hashem God, sorry. He's there teaching us lessons, okay, all different lessons and all different pieces of the puzzle. But there is a puzzle there, it's a big puzzle. And it's just a piece of the puzzle, and the puzzle will get completed, and we will see what that each piece is doing. Okay, that's the first idea. Next idea is we know that when Yaakov, when he was running away, he he went to sleep in the night, and he had a dream, and in the dream there was tremendous brachas in the dream, and Hashem promised to be shreim to him. Then he woke up, and it says Vayikat Yaakov Mishnaso. Yaakov woke up from his sleep. And he said, "Achen Yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh, v'anochi lo yadati." What? There's Hashem in this space, and I didn't know. So Rashi says, "V'anochi lo yadati. Shim yadati lo yashanti b'makom chadash gadeh. Had I known, I wouldn't have slept in this place." So the Bris Baruch points out an amazing thing over here. Yaakov. Think about where Yaakov was holding here. His life was in danger from Esav. He was running away from Esav. He was going towards Laban. Laban, he knew that Laban wasn't necessarily the biggest tzaddik in the world. On the way, Eliphaz had also tried to kill him. Hashem promises him Shmira. Yeah? He promises him Shmira. Don't worry, I'll look after you. Nothing's going to happen to you. And yet, do you know what Yaakov says when he wakes up? He said, "Oi, I didn't realize it was such a makom kadosh. Had I known, I wouldn't have slept here." Had he not slept here, he wouldn't have had that dream. Hashem wouldn't have appeared to him. He wouldn't have got all these brachas, the shmira, he wouldn't have got. Why not? Because how can I sleep in such a place? What's going on here? Yaakov should have been simpler. Okay, so whatever. Okay, I slept over here. I got such a nevuah. I got all these promises from Hashem. I got all these brachas from Hashem. Okay, so whatever. I didn't realize it was a mistake. No. Yaakov didn't say that. It was kedai to be mevatan all these brachas, the shmira, saving his life. Why? Because he didn't want to do. He shouldn't have done a single aveira. One single aveira wasn't kedai for him. It wasn't kedai to do one aveira, wasn't kedai to do one aveira, even though he got all these brachas from it. Says the Bris Baruch that. When it comes to how we approach Torah and mitzvahs, there's no cheshbonos. You can't say cheshbonos. If something's right to do, you do it. If something's wrong to do, you can't do it. What will come from it? Don't mention it. Doesn't matter. That's not our business. The Bris Baruch explains. Says that Hashem is called. The pasuk says that. There was a mice that happened that someone wanted to do a certain thing for the public, and he answered when he went to ask the Bris Baruch this, and he said to the Bris Baruch, he said, and there'll be a big turnus for those learning Torah, a big benefit will come from it. So Bris Baruch said to him, he said, the pasuk says in Parshas Va'ikev, it says Hakel Agadol Agibah Vanoya Asher Lo Yisapanim Lo Yikach Shoyfet. Hashem, he doesn't show favorites to them, and he doesn't accept a bribe. So after Bris Baruch, how does Shai say, what bribe do you want to give Hashem? How do we bribe Hashem? Says the Bris Baruch, do you know what the bribe is? You can say to Hashem, I'll give you extra Torah, but I won't be so mucky about a certain mitzvah, a certain avera. I'll give you this instead of that. I'll give you this mitzvah for that avera. That's called a shoyfa towards Hashem. That's after. That we can't do. We can't make cheshbonos on Hashem's cheshbon. Hashem tells us what to do, that we do. But if Hashem says don't do it, you don't do it. So end of story. There was another meister with a Bris Baruch amazing thing. He says that there was Bris Baruch showed a certain his notes to. There was a certain organization that the Bris Baruch felt was wrong. It wasn't a kosher organization. The person who was talking to the Bris Baruch saw that he was a bit shocked by it, that you shouldn't join it. Bris Baruch said to him, "You know what? Even if you tell me, and if I know that through this organization Mashiach will come, and if we don't acknowledge or join with this organization, Mashiach won't come. Doesn't matter, you can't do it." Says the Bris Baruch, I've got a Gemara to back me up. So the Gemara says that the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that the conversation with I think it's Eliyahu Navi, that Mashiach hangs around those who have tzaraas. Okay, he's with them having tzaraas. He also had tzaraas. I think it was Eliyahu Navi said to him, "How will I know who he is?" So he said, "Mashiach is different to the others who have tzaraas. All the others who have tzaraas, the ones who are suffering from tzaraas, they take when they want to be mitapel with their illness, they take off all their bandages, they do whatever they do, and then they put them all back on. The Mashiach doesn't do that. He only does one at a time. So why? What's pshat? So it says the Mashiach says to himself, he says, you know what? If I take off, let's say, two bandages, and Mashiach comes, if I take off two bandages and it's time for me to come, I'm the Sheikh, it's now time to come, so it's going to take me an extra few seconds to put on both bandages. If I only have one bandage on, I can get there quicker. So just for that one bandage, to save that time, he won't take off those two bandages. And what's trapped in that? Mashiach will come when there's we pass the stage of Roy, when there's Roy's clear in the world. So all it's going to take is for one person to suddenly do a mitzvah, it's going to tilt the balance, we'll have Roy, Mashiach's going to be on his way. If the Mashiach has to do an extra bandage, in that time, maybe someone else will do an aveira. So in that second or 2 seconds, whatever it takes for him to put on that second bandage, someone else might do an aveira, in which case you've lost the Roy, and the Mashiach won't be able to come. So you see how sorry the Mashiach is to want to come. He even won't waste that 1 second to taking off both bandages, just in case that's the time he gets called to come. Says the Biskarov, there's another Gemara. There's a Gemara in Erevin, which is discussing whether there's Tchumin Lamana Me'asara Tfachim. Okay, we know that we can't travel, we can't go in outside the Tchum, 2,000 Amos. Okay, that's a Din D'Rabbanan. Okay. Does that apply if you're going the Mala Me'asara Tfachim? Yeah, higher than 10 Tfachim, not that high, like this. The Nachmina is for Mashiach coming, because he's not going to be walking, apparently. I don't know how he's going, he's flying, I don't know exactly how he's going. Okay, so that's the Gemara Shai. And the Gemara says that if you hold that the Arts come in, the Mala Me'asara Tfachim, Mashiach won't be able to come, if it's on the Shabbos. Yeah, he won't be able to come. Says the Brisker Rosh, look here. Mashiach, we just saw how makpid he is and how zoriz it is to come. But if there's an itta derabban of tchumin, he won't come. His hands are going to be tied. He won't be able to come. And even though it's time for him to come, because we've got wolf's clues, and if he doesn't come for that rest of that Shabbos, someone might do an avera which will tilt the balance back away from him coming. Doesn't matter. He's not prepared to be mevata at one single avera. An Issa Darabonan, even an Issa Darabonan is not prepared to move after. So even though you see we see how makpid and zoris the Mashiach is to come, if it involves an Aveira, he won't come. So says the Brisker Rov, that's how we have to approach all our Avodas Hashem. When it comes to Torah, when it comes to mitzvahs, you can have the greatest chesbonos. You can think you're going to save all these people. You're going to be makar of the masses. You're going to achieve so much. But if it involves an avera, it's awesome. You're not allowed to do it. The ends don't justify the means. I'm not talking about the times where there may be kulas and things like that. But if something is an avera, there's no justification. That's what we saw from Mashiach. Mashiach won't come. He won't be over. And it's a darabonon. Yeah, even though you see how zaris it is, because it's an avera, so you can't make chesbonos. Right. So yeah, that was pshat in Yaakov Avinu. The fact that it was Admas Kodesh, the fact that it was a holy place, and it was the place of the Beis Hamikdash, and we have all of the Beis Hamikdash. It's not appropriate to sleep. Said Yaakov Avinu, even though I would have got all these brachas, the shmirah, all these brachas, it wouldn't be kedai. We can't do Averis. If there's an Averis there, even though there's a great cheshmon, you're not allowed to do it. And the Chorah, this idea is really a Gemara. The Gemara in Bracha says that Chizkiyahu HaMelech was punished.
Yeah, it says, the Gemara says that Chizkiyahu HaMelech became ill, and Yeshayahu, the Navi, came to him. And he said to him, Tavla Beisat, Timesa Tavla Loisifia. Tell your household that you're going to die and you're not going to live. Ask the Gemara, my Timesa Tavla Loisifia, what's the double lashon? You're going to die and you won't live. Says the Gemara, you're going to die in this world and you won't live for Olam Haba. Amale, so Chizkiyahu said to him, Michael, what's going on? What did I do wrong? Amale, Mishum de Ruas, Asakta the Pir of Arubia. Because you didn't get involved in the Pir of Arubia. You didn't get married. Chizkiyahu Melech back to him, I had a good cheshbon. Amale, Mishum de Chazili Baruch HaKodesh. Said, I saw in Ruach HaKodesh that I'm going to have sons who are not appropriate, who are not good, and the sons were Menasheh. Yeah, we know Menasheh was a tremendous Rasha. So he said, I had a good cheshbon, that's why I didn't get married. I didn't want to produce a Menasheh in the world. Yishayahu Hanavi back to him, Amalei, Behadi Tavshei Derachmana Lamanach. But these things which are hidden from why are you getting involved in? That which you are mitzvah to do, and that which is good for Hashem, let him do. Meaning, we have to do what's mutter on us, and the rest is Hashem's business. If he wants to have a manasseh come out of him, fine. If he doesn't, he won't. That's not our business. Our business is to do the ratzon Hashem. The ratzon Hashem is the way it's given to us through the Torah and the mitzvahs. That's what we have to do. Even if we think that we've got cheshbonos, irrelevant. last idea is the. Okay. Yaakov had this dream, and there was a ladder in the dream. So the Balat Torah points out that the gematria of Sulam is the same gematria as Mammon and the same gematria as Oini. Okay. He carries on and says, because both of them can raise a person, both of them can make a person go down. Yeah. Money is like a ladder. A ladder you can go up, you can go down. Money, a person can use his money wisely. You can use it for Torah, for mitzvahs, or chas chalila. You can use it on the contrary. You can waste his life with it. And so too by Oni. Poverty can also, it can be a drive for a person to dumb into Hashem, to get drinkers to Hashem, and to he doesn't have so many nechassim, therefore he doesn't have as many burdens. But at the same time, it can also take a person away from Hashem. It can go into stealing and to do whatever he thinks he needs to do to make money. That's the idea of the ladder. Yeah. So yeah, a person can use his money wisely, or chaschil or not. We see a similar idea. Rav Shimon Shwar points out, says that later on in the pasuk, when it talks about Yaakov leaving, he says. The prophet says that it says Yaakov, it says Vayifrat ha'is ma'od ma'od, the man became richer and richer, and he had lots of cattle and avodim. He points out, it's interesting that the lashon of the pasuk is, doesn't say Vayifrat Yaakov, it says Vayifrat ha'ish, calls him an ish. So why is it calling him an ish? So he says, because Yaakov didn't make his money part of him. It didn't become his essence. That wasn't who he was. He was Yaakov Avinu. The ish, that person got lots of wealth, but it didn't become his essence. And he says that he's Medayik, the same thing you find by Yaakov by Yitzchak in Parashat Toidos. He says Vigdala ish, the man grew, I think, with wealth. So again, money's not there. It's not meant to become a part of us. It's not part and parcel of us. We are who we are. We are what we are is through our Torah and the mitzvahs. That's makalish us.
they become part of us. Not money. Money is meant to be something external to us. I'll just finish off with an amazing story. I saw that Rav Chalom Wasserman, when he was Rosh Hashiva in Baranovich, he had to collect money for the yeshiva. So one time he went to America, and to get to America in those days wasn't so simple. He had to get a train. I don't know how many trains he had to get, a boat, weeks to get there. So he got to America, and the people in America, or at least where he was, weren't so sympathetic to his needs. They were a bit too into the gashmias, not so much into the ruchnias. So he was a bit upset and whatever. Okay, what can he do? Anyway, before he was leaving, he heard of a gvir, someone that he said maybe he can go see what's doing over there. So he went to meet. It wasn't so simple to make an appointment. He managed to make an appointment, and he got there, and they discovered that this person was actually someone he was in cheder with. Okay, and he owns a clothing factory. And so he started talking to him, and he said, "No, how are you doing?" So, and you could see this person unfortunately had gone off the derech. He wasn't a from yid anymore. So he started talking to him, and he said, "Yeah, I left Europe, and I'm here, and I opened up the clothing factory, and Baruch, Baruch Hashem." He said, "I'm very matzliach. I'm a very very rich man." So then, and then his name was Philip. The Philip said to Rabbi Chalom Wasserman, he said, "Tell me what are you doing over here?" So he said, "You know what?" He said, "I've been having problems with my button on my coat. It's very loose. I'm worried it's going to fall off. Maybe you can help me out." So he said, "Sure, I can help you out, but what are you doing here?" He said, "No, this is why I'm here. I'm here because I need help with my button." He said, Philip said to him, "I'm not just going to give you a fixy button. I'll give you a whole new jacket. I've got this whole factory here. Let me give you a whole jacket." So he said, "No, I don't know. I just want a button." So he said, "Fine, okay." So he called one of his helpers, and he said, "Sew it up properly." So fine, sewed it up properly, gave it to Rav Chanan, and he said, "Thank you very much." And he went home. Later that night, Philip called Rav Chanan, and he said, "You were the Elohim Cheder. Said you don't do things without fish bones. You can't tell me that you just came here for to get your button fixed." So Rav Chanan said, "No, that's why I came to get my button fixed." Okay, went to sleep. First thing in the morning, Philip phones him again. Said, "I can't be. Please tell me, why did you come here? What's going on? Why did you come? I did a chesmon. It would take you weeks and weeks to get here. There's no way you came here just to get your button fixed. Why did you come here?" So so Rav Chanan said to him, "Listen to the words you just said. Listen to those words." He said, "There's no way I'd come travel all this way just to get my button fixed." He said, Rahana said to him, "Anashama comes from the Kisei HaKavod." The Chazal tell us that there are seven rakiyas from the Kisei HaKavod all the way down to this world. Each rakiya is that 500 years to travel from one end to the other, and from one rakiya to another is another 500. So that's 500 years times 14. He said, "You're telling me you came all the way to this world just so you can sew buttons and make coats? How can that be?" The words were mashed into the heart of this Philip, and he cried, and Rahman went through him with the halachas of tshuva, and Rahman said to him, "Fine, I'll arrange for you a chavrusa. You'll be able to get to your ruchnias," and this yid became a baal tshuva, and now he used his money appropriately. He supported all the good causes. And that's how money is meant to be used.